There's two kind of leaderships in your life. There's the exterior leadership of your call, vocation, destiny, what God's called you to do, who you're called to marry, where you're called to live, what you're called to do. All of that external leadership is God ordained by the Holy Spirit. And there's another leadership that's very much more important. It's the internal leadership. Christ said, if any man follow me, if a man serve me, let him follow me to be with me where I am. For where I am, there shall you be also. And he says, I'm going back to the Father. If you're going to follow me, I'm going to bring you to the Father. I can't remember a time that my life, particularly ministry, personal, that I've enjoyed God more than I have in the last 2 months, especially. Of course, been the right hand of God for, been studying that for 3 years, but just last introduction into the love of the Father and finding out a lot about the love of God, and we're all learning about it, and more importantly, where it is. Now, God will come here and love you, visit you, show you his love. How many of you ever been touched to the Father's love? Raise your hand. That's what I'm talking about. How many of you'd like to dwell in the Father's love every day of your life? That's what I'm talking about. Now, if you're going to dwell in the Father's love, you're going to have to move from visitation to journey, to go with him where he is. You've got to approach him. You have to come to God. You have to journey into the Father through the Son. And he's everything he said he was and more. Amen. And so today we're going to take a little journey, go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to be throughout the book of Corinthians. You should get a pretty good idea today of what this book entails. We're going to break down one of the chapters, 1 Corinthians 13, that we're all familiar with, and might find a few new things in there. Amen. Let's start with chapter 12, last verse. Now, chapter 12, he begins to introduce the administrations, the operations, the government of God, the nine gifts of the Spirit, all of these things. It's something very interesting when he does. If you'll look at verse 7, he says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. And he's going to list the gifts of the Spirit in the next couple of verses. One is given the spirit of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing, to another working of miracles, another prophecy, discerning of spirits, diverse kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. We're all arrayed in some form or fashion with these operations and these gifts. Some of us are operating in more, some are operating in all. In fact, the higher you go in God, you'll generally operate in a multitude of the gifts. Now notice what he says here in verse 11. It's very powerful because it's a very key verse to this entire book. It says, but all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally. Holy Spirit's dividing to every man severally as he wills. In fact, if you really want to know the truth, for this particular church, the Corinthian church, not only was he dividing severally as he wills, but he was controlling the faucet by which those gifts and operations and powers of the age to come would flow. And the Holy Spirit, he was the one turning it on or turning it off, depending on where they were. In matter of fact, this pivotal chapter is where he begins to shift them, to tell them to covet earnestly the best gifts, but I'm going to show you a more excellent way to operate. And there was a reason why he was saying this. And if you look at verse 31, it says, covet earnestly the best gifts, covet the operations, covet the gifts. That's a strong word, you know. When he tells you covet, he means covet. It's okay to desire to operate in God. But the problem with this particular church, it had a lot of problems. And it started in chapter 1, in chapter 3, chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 9, chapter 11. This whole book was a book of correction before he gets to the chapter 13 where it says, time to grow up, boys and girls. Covet earnestly the best gifts. What I'm going to show unto you a more excellent way to do this, to operate. I want you to go over to John chapter 3. Verse 34 for a minute, and then we're going to get back to Corinthians. I call this the Corinthian model. Yes, he gives the powers of the age to come. He gives the gifts of the Spirit, but he's controlling the faucet. How many of you know the church is operating in measure right now? We have to move in this hour, in this generation, from operating in measure to operating in fullness, because in measure is never going to get the job done. If you haven't noticed, the world's getting very dark. This country's getting dark. And the church is going to have to move from its present state of operation, of being in measure, in part, to in fullness. Now you have two models of operation that are listed in the Word of God. You have the one that Jesus gave, and you have the one of the Corinthian model, where it was severally controlled by a faucet of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to show you why he did that. Why he just didn't hand the Corinthian church the fullness of God. The fullness. Don't you wish God would just pour it all out? Glory to God. But you know, there's an accountability and a responsibility for the power of God and the glory of God that we're all wanting. Now look at this particular model here, because this is the one we're after. This is the one we want. This is one the church needs. It's one the world needs to see. Because right now the world's not impressed. We got to move from where we are to the gospel of astonishment. Wherever Lord went, he astonished everybody. They were always astonished. Took their breath away most of the time. John 3, verse 34. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. Speaking of Christ, the Father sent him. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. He was not measured. He didn't operate in part. He operated in fullness all the time. It was on him all the time. Say on him all the time. Well, that was the Lord. That's him. And this is us. No. He said, what I do, you'll do also. In fact, when the disciples, even in their training, was there trying to get the devil out of that boy. They couldn't do it. He walked right up, cast it right out. And then they pulled him to the side and said, psst, come here. Aren't you glad they asked the questions that every one of you and I are dying to ask? If they ask it, I don't have to ask it. I just get in on the answer. Why couldn't I do that? He did not say, I operate without measure and you're in measure. Don't even think about it. He didn't say that. What did he say? He rebuked them for their unbelief. How long am I going to do this for you? That's what he said. He says, and the reason is because of your unbelief. Well, we know a few of them got it right by the time Book of Acts came, because Peter was wearing the glory of God. When he got in front of that man at Gate Beautiful, 38 years. Nobody should suffer 38 years. Nobody should be crippled for 38 years. I couldn't even be imagined crippled for a week. I remember when Pastor Chuck had that accident, we were out there on the lake, and how was 6 weeks? You were out for 6 weeks, couldn't walk, broke his hip, everything. I couldn't imagine 6 weeks in a bed. How many 38 years? And Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but notice this, what I have. Listen, we got to move to the place, we got to get to the place we have it on us. When you get in front of a 38-year-old condition, if it's not on you, probably nothing's going to happen. You got to have it on you already. That was chapter 3. By chapter 5, he was wearing the glory. The cloud was on him, Peter, and they were bringing him in beds and couches. That's an anointing, an operation without measure. Bringing him from cities. Could you imagine all the cities around about in chapter 5 in that Jerusalem revival, and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost just stops the faucet and all them people from all those cities. Oh, sorry, we're in measure today. The gift, it lifted. There's a difference between operating in measure and a different operating without measure. And Peter made it. Paul made it. And you and I can make it. The early church made it. And they shook the world. These men that have turned the world upside down have come to our city also. We must apprehend. We must shift. And he was shifting them in the book of Corinthians. He goes, covet all this operation, but don't get used to being operating in measure. Because I want to move you from in part to fullness. I'm going to show you how it's done. Now, let's look at some of the problems before we look at the solution. I don't want to spend a lot of time on the problem, but I want you to see what the problem was, why they were operating in measure. What astounds me, just absolutely, when we walk through this book here, the level of carnality they were walking in, it was astounding that they received the government, the administrations, the operations, the gifts. They received all of that operating, and the Holy Spirit was in measure. He says, I want to use you. I need to use you. I need your testimony on earth. I want to back you. But you're all carnal. He goes, but I'm still going to use you. How many of you thank God he still uses them when we're growing up? But we've got to move on up. We got to get that George Jefferson anointing. I'm moving on up. I'm moving on up. I got a deluxe apartment in the right hand of God. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Now, Paul birthed this church. You want a testament how the enemy works against the apostolic office by 2 Corinthians chapter 13. They didn't even know that Christ was even speaking through him anymore. They wanted proof. They wanted letters of recommendation from the man that birthed the church. I couldn't imagine doing that. Walking here, oh, Pastor, we don't know if Christ is no longer speaking through you. We need a letter of recommendation from somebody. That's what they were saying. He goes, since you seek a proof that Christ is speaking in me. Well, they're kind of upset because he corrected them. We're going to look at some of this correction. But this is one of the problems of why the power and the glory and the anointing without measure wasn't on. We must move. Before I do that, go to chapter 13. Just keep your fingers in the whole book of Corinthians. Now, verse 9, I want you to see something. Now, I'm not going to break this down until the end of the message. But I want to show you something. Verse 9. We know in part and we prophesy in part. Or that word part's measure. And we prophesy in measure. But when that which is perfect has come, that which is in measure will be done away. Now we always look at these particular verses as though when he shows up, that which is in measure is done away because we'll see him as he is. We'll see him face to face. Look at what he says, verse 12, now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. I now know in part or in measure, but then I shall know even as I'm known. And we think, well, when he comes, right now we're all in measure. When he comes, second coming, we're all going to come into fullness. We're going to move from part to measure to fullness to wholeness. It's all going to be done. But that's just not what he said, because in chapter 12 he says, I'm going to show you a more excellent way to come in to the power of God. And he begins introducing them to the love. So you don't think he's going to show them a more excellent way and at the end of it say, oh, by the way, this more excellent way, you're not going to come to the fullness of it until he shows up, until his second return. So don't even think about it. Just go back to your life. No, he was talking about, he goes, you're all in measure right now. You're all operating in part. And there's a reason why this love's going to have to come in and make you whole. And we're discovering a lot about the love of God. It does not originate with us. Now go back to chapter 1 real quick. We're going to come back to chapter 13. Chapter 13 is the culmination. It's the shift from being in measure to being without measure. How many of you want to operate without measure? How many of you know the church must come to the place that we go without measure and the glory of God descends upon our cities? These are not theories. These are actual will of God for our city, for our nation, for this body, for you and I to move from being in part to being full. And without measure, we have to make that shift. And it cannot be done in ourselves. Praise the Lord. Now let's look at the issue, the problem real quick. Chapter 1. I'm going to run through these chapters fairly quick. I want to spend the most of my time in chapter 13, but I'm going to show you why they were in measure. And I want you to think about this while we go through this. I want you to think about something. of the glory and the grace and the favor of God. After you see what carnal outfits that entire church was, they were carnal to the nth degree. And God used them. All right? Chapter 1, verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you speak the same thing, that there be no divisions. Lots of division. He dealt with a division in chapter 1, 3, 4, 11. Division everywhere in that church. But that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment, for it's been declared unto me, my brethren, by them which are the house of Chloe, that there be contentions among you. Contentions. Division. Anybody ever experienced any of that in church? Moving right along. Let's go to chapter 3. Hallelujah. We'll just shift right there. Division is a weapon of the enemy. If we have a capacity to be divided, we'll be divided. He sow offense every chance he gets. Verse 1, and brethren, I could not speak unto you as spiritual. Oh, man. But as unto carnal, even unto babes in Christ, I fed you with milk and not with meat. And hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet are you now able. Which means, really, if you really want to think about it, he goes, you're not able to bear meat, so the rest of this book is milk. Wow. For are you yet carnal, wherein there is among you envy, strife, jealousy, division? Are you not carnal and walk as what? Men. One saith, I'm of Paul. Another said, I'm of Apollos. Another said, I'm of Peter. Was Christ divided, he said. So here again, we see carnality and division. And we're thinking, well, that's not that. Now, go to chapter 5. We got the sword out right now after we do the surgery and cut up a little bit. Then we'll get to the love. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 5. So we have division, carnality, strife. We're first four chapters in. Those are pretty heavy ones. Look at chapter 5. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you. It is reported commonly. That means it's often. And such fornication is not so much named among the Gentiles that one should have his father's wife. Wow. Such fornication is not so much named among the Gentiles that one should have his father's wife. Pretty serious perversion, wouldn't you say? Chapter 6. By the way, this is the church that has the gifts, the administrations, and the operations. You'll find out real quick why they were not operating in fullness. Chapter 6. Have a matter against any, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints. Do you not know the saints will judge the world, and the world shall be judged by you? You're not unworthy to judge the smallest matters. Know ye not that you shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? He's saying, look, you're going to judge the angels. And he goes, but you go to law one with another. He goes, can't you find enough wise men among you to settle the dispute or just suffer the wrong? But you take brother against brother to law, and that before the unjust. You let the unjust decide the matter. We're supposed to be the children of light. So you got strife, division, fornication, suing one another. And I can't wait to get to the love, can you? Go to chapter 10. I think I'm making my point. Look at verse 14. Wherefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. They had problems with idolatry. We won't stay there long. Go to chapter 11. Chapter 11, Verse 17, now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. Well, Paul, you don't have to partly believe it. You can just believe it. For there must be heresies among you, that they which are approved may be manifest among you. When you come therefore into one place, is not to eat the Lord's Supper. He says, don't you know that his body was shredded, broken for your unity? And you come together with division in your heart to eat the Lord's Supper. So he shares all throughout. And then in chapter 12, he introduces the gifts, the administrations, the government, and the operations of God. But it's severally as the Holy Ghost wills. He goes, I'm going to give this to you because I love you. Because I need your witness. And you can imagine that's about like the American church right now. But a lot of hidden stuff going on. And we're calling down for the fullness of God, for the anointing without measure. We're asking God, come on, please. And that's why we're in part. That's why we're being used in measure. And the Lord is endeavoring and wanting to shift us to being without measure. We must come to the place without measure, where the Holy Ghost is freed without a regulated faucet to release glory over whole cities, to release him. We're thinking, well, he's going to do that one day. If that situation and that church doesn't change, I can assure you that faucet will stay regulated for a generation until we make the shift. We must make the shift. That's why he said, covet earnestly all this. Even in your carnal outfit ways, covet it. Can you believe it? However, I show unto you a more excellent way to operate in God. Because if you think having a little bit of the powers of the age to come in measure, wait until you and I get exposed to the fullness of his love. He's going to bring us from being in measure to fullness. And the Holy Ghost is going to be able to take the regulation off the faucet. And he's going to be able to release glory over whole cities. What you and I have been looking into prophetically and prophesying and seeing and proclaiming and decreeing and praying and fasting and all of that. And wondering and wishing and waiting and whenever it's going to come. We have a part. And our part is to move out of part. To move out of measure. To wholeness. To fullness. Now, let's look at this chapter in a new light now. What we're learning now is, all right, I see the problem. I see the issue. I'm going to go and I'm going to start walking in love. Wrong. The second you go try to do it, you will fail. Not this kind of love. This kind of love is not going to originate with you, so don't go out there and just try to just generate something up. Because some preacher said, well, you got to walk in love. You'll last 3 weeks, maybe six, in the flesh. Because this kind of love that he's going to talk about is not going to originate with you. Well, how do you know that? How you know that, Pastor? How you know that? Well, I'm glad you ask. Because one of the finest verses in this chapter is going to separate your love from his. And if you don't get your love separated from his, you're going to go try to do it yourself. And if it be of your works, it cannot be by his grace. But if it be by his grace, it'll be of his works. You're not going to be able to do it in yourself, but we are going to show you where it dwells. And I'm finding out, I don't know about you, but highly, highly underestimated the love of God and how intensely deep it is and how intensely powerful it is. But more importantly, I just didn't know where to go get it every day. And if you don't know where to go get it every day, you're going to go try to do it in yourself. And that is not what he's looking for. That's not going to cause you to grow up into what he's telling you to grow up into. That kind of stuff in yourself is not going to have the kind of power to cut off the problem areas that we've been carrying. Could you imagine the Corinthian church? Oh, yeah, we're going to go and just walk in love, and there's going to wipe out because Paul preaches one message, going to go wipe out all those problems. No, no, no. There's going to have to be a fundamental transformation that cannot originate with our will and our power to go do this. It's a fundamental transformation that we love because he first loves us. And if we don't get in under the fountain of his love and find out where that love is flowing, we're not going to have what it takes to release this kind of love. More importantly, to be transformed by it. This love is so powerful to transform. It's going to change us. We just got to go where it's flowing, and it is flowing. I'm telling you right now, there's no good thing he's withholding from any of us. God the Father does not withhold. He that spared not his only son, how shall he not freely give me all things? Freely! Look at verse 3 for a minute. Let's separate the fact that this is not going to be of us, so we can get on with the business of how God's going to do this. Your approach to God is huge. Your approach to any message. You hear a message, well, I'm going to go make these changes. No! The better thing is I can do it, God. But don't stay there either. Here's one thought. I'm going to go do this. You'll run right into yourself. It won't take long. How do you know? I've done it many times. The other thought is, I can't do it, God. I'm just going to sit here and wait until you do it. You'll be waiting a long time. Those are two fundamental problems because neither one of them work. The better one's this side. At least you're halfway there. I can't do it. It's not originating in me. Done that, tried that, can't do it. I don't know how to attain to that. That's step one. At least you recognize that you can't do it, but you can't stay there either. And just wait for it. You have to make your approach into the Father to be with him where he is. Jesus said, if any man serve me, let him follow me. Said it three times in the book of John that where I am, there yeah, shall you be also. I come from the Father. I return to the Father. But I'm going to make a way for you. For I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man's coming to the Father but by me, but I came to introduce you to him. Because you were separated from him. And God does not like separation. He wants to be with you more than you can imagine. I'm telling you right now, the whole church is going to get some kind of revelation of the fullness of God's love in our life and just how great it is. I'm telling you right now, his love is not going to leave you the same. And it's powerful enough to change the age-old 20, 30, 40, 50-year strongholds that don't seem to go anywhere. His love is empowered to change things that you don't even know to be changed. That's what I was telling Anna. I said, we have no idea. Every time I get in his love now, he peels another veil back. I got, please tell me that's not me. Please tell me that's not me. He pulls the layer back. I said, oh, no. Surely. I'm going to make a statement. You do not have the power to see the depths of your great need for the Father. You don't have the power to see the depth of how much you actually need him. You don't have the power to see your own strongholds. Most of them get very embedded, very deeply. Men, women, there are things embedded in us. Long time we've learned to cover up, hide, self-protection mechanism. First thing Adam did when he fell, ran. Boy, some of us are good at running. Hiding. Let me clothe myself with this fig leaf. Let me clothe myself with that. Well, see, over a lifetime of clothing yourself, you start developing a lot of identity. Spiritually, you don't know you're veiled. Because your eyes don't have enough power to see that veil in front of you. you can't see it. Verse 3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Did you hear that? You can give your body to be burned. It takes an exceptional person to give all their goods to feed the poor. How could I possibly walk up to somebody that gave all their goods to feed the poor and walk up and says, that was a very generous act and very loving, but you're not walking in his love. You see the difference? Somebody can give their body to be burned for the sake of the gospel or for the sake of religion and tell them this is not God's love. How can you do that? Because human love can go through great extents. And herein lies the problem, especially in a message like this, that we get this problem. We see, oh, well, I need to walk in love, so I'm going to start generating this. And you know why we do that? Because we truly don't have a revelation of how great his love is. Just stop with all your transformation and all your trying. Get to where he is. Because we love. Why? Because he first love does. If we could get into his love, we could see how readily and how shallow our love is. And any kind of love that we could generate on our own, if we can get in his love, not only will we have a revelation, we'll get baptized, we'll get bathed, we'll get clothed on something that is not of this world. The reason why is we're not high enough. Every time we hear something, we go try to do it ourselves. You cannot replace the things of God with human sufficiency. It's not going to work. It's not what's originating with us. It's what's originating with him. We just got to get in there. Say, God, get me in there. And you'll go in there and go, oh, it feels good. I'm with you, Lord, where you are, seated together with you in heavenly places, dwelling in the Father. And the Father dwelling in me. The final words of the Lord were spoken in the upper room to 11 men, the most precious words ever. John chapter 14, 15, 16, 17. Spoken to 11 men, the revelation of oneness and union with the Father. That kind of love is what's going to cause us to grow up. That kind of love is going to swallow up our infirmities and swallow up our inabilities and swallow up our shortcomings and swallow up those problematic areas. And there's going to be a transformation like you and I have never seen. And that's coming. More importantly, we're coming to it. God wants us to journey into him. When we obtain this, it's going to transform us fundamentally at our core to such a level. It won't be us, it'll be that love working in us. It's so much greater than us. And it is so good. So it's possible for you to do it. And you got to shift out of that. The recognition that, yes, I can be a really good person. Anna and I was talking about this on the way over here. Well, I'm a fairly good person. I understand that. Most people, you know, a lot of people, some people, are decent people. We're decent. We've got manners. We don't walk around just being trying to rude and mean to somebody. Some people in the church do that, but most people are nice. But that's still missing the mark because it's not what's generating how nice we are. The power of God is not going to rest on your niceness. The power of God is going to rest on the Father's love in you. Because it's power. Your niceness can't transform you. It just makes you nice. The power of God's love fundamentally transforms and washes down everything. Washes it away. I mean, it cuts it like a knife. Nothing stands in the presence of his love. And when he washes us down, it leaves us whole. And God said, that's somebody I can use now. Because I see my image in you. Your own niceness cannot conform you to his image. His love can conform you to his image. He's looking for his image. But I am trusting him more and more. I said, just show me. I'm coming with open face now. We make the journeys. We talk about around here. And I come in before his love. I said, just with open face. Just show me. I don't want to be veiled no more. I don't want to wear cloaks. I don't want to hide anymore. I want to know what I don't know. I've already recognized I can't see this. I can't see the issue. I want this, this, and this, and he's wanting this right here, this transformation on the inside. Areas I can't see that are so needful. Because I'm looking at this thing through the lenses of a child, and he's looking through an adult that's been around for a very, very, very long time. As an adult, you can look at your child and just spot it, and you're trying to reason with them. You ever had a child that just don't want to reason? You know, they know it already. They're at that age, they know it, and you're trying to tell them, look, I've been around. I have 5-6 times the experience you have in years. And I'm telling you, that's not the way you do it. I'm telling you, this is the way we do it. You can see that because you've been there. You're an adult. You're looking at it in a lens through an adult. And he's going to talk about this in the love of God here. So let's look at the love of God. Because we see they were in measure and they're in part, and every one of us in measure and part. And if you're walking in the fullness right now, bring me with you today. Let's go have some revival in this city. I'll follow you. The notion that God's just going to drop out of the sky, do you think that he would drop out of the sky in a church in that condition and just splatter the fullness of his power all over the place? They would make a big problem bigger. If you've got issues, you're going to have bigger issues when the power of God shows up. Yeah, he'll use you, but how many have we seen being used with the power of God that you get train wrecked because of these eternal things that never got worked out? Verse 9, I want to focus on verse 9 through 12. There's a lot compacted in these verses here. He described what the love is because Paul was living in the love. Now listen, when Paul writes, you have to understand where Paul lived. Paul didn't live here. He said, you are dead. Your life is hidden with Christ in the Father. He spent more time in the Father, in the Son, in the right hand of God. He spoke more about it than any other writer. The book of Ephesians, the book of Colossians, the book of Hebrews, all these books were opened up speaking of the right hand of God, speaking of this place that Christ prepared for us, speaking of this inheritance we have in the Father to dwell with him in heavenly places. So when Paul would write, he wasn't writing as a man in the earth. He was writing from a heavenly perspective because that's where he dwelt. Verse 9. For we know, that word know is gnosko. It means to know, to understand, perception, experience, knowledge, discernment. See, you have a certain perception as a child, but when you become an adult, you have a different level of perception. He goes, you know in measure. I know you know God. Every one of us in this place are in measure, myself included. He goes, we know in measure. Because you understand your perception is based in measure. You have a measure of God, but I want to bring you to fullness. I want to introduce you to something that's greater. I want to move you from being in measure. Notice what he says. He goes, in the way you prophesy in measure. Because our understanding is limited. Even though we're spirit-filled. Hey, look. I'm saved, baptized in the Holy Ghost. I got it. I've already read the books. I've been trained by the best of them. I preach the messages. I've already been in there. I got a pretty good understanding of how all this works. We're in measure. As we were in fullness right now, it would show up. It would be on us. We would be wearing it. And everybody around us would be partaking the fruit of that heavenly realm. It would be, such as I have, I give. Instead of trying to still get it. Or waiting for it to show up. Or, well, it just lifted. Now verse 10. But when that which is perfect has come to fruition. What's he talking about? The more excellent way, the love of God. When that which is perfect comes into fruition, that which is in measure is going to get swallowed up. When we look at that verse and we're thinking, how can this be? Some of us have been at this for 20, 30, 40 years in the progress we've made. This is what I got to show for 25 years. I'm still struggling with this stuff. Really, God? I mean, really? Well, that which is imperfect will come. I said, well, how long is that which is perfect going to take? Because after 25 years, that which is perfect hadn't been showing up very much. You notice that? That which is perfect doesn't seem to come around very much. I see everything else, but I don't see that which is perfect very often. That which is perfect shows up every once in a while and says, hello. Oh, glory, I love it, hallelujah. It lasts about 3 weeks, and this, that which is perfect has gone away, and I'm back in dealing with the measure again. I'm back in part. Struggling. Waiting for the next visitation of that which is perfect to show up. And you're thinking, how long is this going to take? Because our present struggle, you know how most of our transformation comes? I'm going to tell you straight up how it comes. Testing, trials, and brokenness. Most of our transformation is coming in the holes that we keep digging for ourselves. Because we're walking off into 50-foot craters, and we don't even know it's a 50-foot crater in the spirit. We just walk right off, and you figure your life just crashed. And 3 months later, you wake up. I said, I think I messed up. I need sozo. Give me some sozo. When is that what's perfect going to come? It's going to come when you go get it. It wasn't how many time or how long we had to wait for that which is perfect. It was obtaining the promise of God that says I could be with him where he was. That his whole mission was to come and reconcile me to the love of the Father and remove the separation and bring me back in the union with the Father and make my journey into Christ so he could turn me over into the Father, where the Father could love me with a love that's not of this world and be washed daily with a love that's not of, and start washing the impurity away. Washing the spot and wrinkle away, washing the jagged edges, washing down the walls, washing down the insecurity, the fear, the torment, washing down the paranoia, washing down all the veils that I have been living with and all the stuff that's so familiar that I think it's God. Look, people think that they're doing God a service, killing themselves. When you look at your own veil, we don't have the power. It's only in his love that we can see our veil. His love is light, and he'll show the veil. And when he takes the veil off, you'll get a revelation like, oh, that wasn't you. That was 20 years of thinking that way, acting that way, behaving that way, reacting that way, defending myself, walking around, don't trust anybody, walled up all the time, isolated. Well, I'm just going to isolate myself, or grow me a prophet's beard, you know, and go hang up on a mountain with God. And in true reality, I just don't know how to dwell with anybody. I'm too afraid of everybody. I got so many walls and so much stuff going on, and I haven't found anything powerful enough to just rip it out yet. But that which is perfect has come. That which is in part, the measure, is going to be folded into the perfection of God. What did he say in Hebrews chapter 6, 1? Let us leave the foundations of Christ. Now, if you read that, you'll get real messed up. Well, let's just leave the foundation. He says, let's go on from the foundations of Christ. Look, he built the foundation, but let's not sit there the rest of our life. A foundation is something to go up. Let us go on into perfection. He says, look, you've got the foundation. Don't sit there the rest of your life. Why are we so afraid to give the people meat? Well, it's so much easier to digest milk, I understand, but we can't keep on giving a milk to the congregation the rest of our life. We can't just hand milk bottles out every time we come in here. We have to have meat. We're going to have to get into the deep things of God. We're going to have to take the supernatural, and we're going to have to make it natural. We're going to move into these areas and not start being afraid of them and start learning and accessing who we are to be partakers of the heavenly calling, partakers of the divine nature, partakers of the inheritance of the saints and the light, coming into the fullness. We've got to move out of measure. It's not going to get the job done. We've got to move into fullness to be clothed, cloaked in the love of the Father. Move into where he is. I am in perfect union with the Father. You know why? Because I'm in Christ. He accepts me perfectly. And if I'm in Christ, he's in the Father. And he's presenting me faultless before the Father. He presents me holy and without blame. Get yourself in the Son. Abide, dwell, be found in him. not having your own. Well, you don't know what I've done. Listen, what you've done, God is going to change that. Just know that Christ accepts you the way you are right now. You trying to fix yourself the rest of your life ain't going to get the job done. So just say, Lord, I'm accepted in you. You love me just the way I am. I'm found in you, not having my own righteousness. Get me in that abiding place. Get me in there. You accept me, clothe me. I'm found in you. And when you get in there, now present me to the Father. Because he's presenting you perfect. He presents you faultless with the Father. And Father says, come on in here. And when he starts loving on you, he'll start fixing the problem. The devil would just love for you to sit on the other side of the gate the rest of your life in separation because you got a problem. You think that God can't accept you. We have guilt and shame and condemnation over us, and we approach God with all that stuff. He can't even make it through the door. He's talking about part and wholeness, but then he's going to differentiate it between a child and a parent, something you can understand. He goes, look, he goes, we're going to have to put away childish things now. Ain't nobody in here thinks they're a child in the spirit, myself included. I understand that part because I done been used of the gifts. Well, they were too. Well, I done touched the presence of God. They did too. They had the knowledge of God. They did too. It's not determined by where we think we are. That's the problem. We've got our lenses and God's got his. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. I acted like a child. I behaved like a child. It's pretty evident I'm a child. I perceive the perception of a child. Born to become a man, I put away childish things. Now, which one of you want to put a pacifier in your mouth today when you get out here and lay back up in there in one of those baby cradles? Now, let's look at this one verse here, and we'll close with this. Verse 12. This is the most powerful verse. Verse 12. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in measure. I'm operating in measure. My understanding, my discernment, all that I am is in measure. But when that which is perfect come, I'll know even as I'm also known. Do you know what he's saying there? When you come out of measure, you will know the love of the Father with all the love that he's known you with. You're going to come into its fullness. He goes, but now we're looking through a glass darkly. That veil, every one of them have them. The problem is you can open your natural eyes and see, and we think we see. But that's not what he's looking at. There are things that darken our understanding. And only God's love can bring us to the transformation to take that veil off so we can really see. And I'm finding out, I'm telling you what, I've been in ministry 15 years, 16, and I've been knowing God about 26. I'm telling you right now, there are a lot of things now that I'm being exposed to this love every day. There are a lot of thought patterns, behavior patterns. There are a lot of things that were familiar to me that I had already thought this was God. This is the way God is. And he's taking that off right now. And I'm discovering, you know, I don't know near as much as I thought I knew. And I ain't all that. But he's doing it in such a loving manner that he's lifting the veils off one after another. And I had no idea how many there are. I said, how many? I don't even want to ask right now. Let's just go day by day because I'm loving the liberty and I'm loving the freedom. And every bit of faith that you give to climb up in the lap of God and may enter into the Father's love, the transformation's there. When you think about how long, when is that which perfect's going to come? Listen, when you come into the perfection of God, into the love of the Father, he can do it just like that. It's amazing how the stuff is dropping off. People come up and say, you're changing. That glass, that darkened lens, there's only one thing powerful enough to show you what it is, and that's the love of God. One thing powerful enough to change it, and that's the love of God. You cannot see that darkened lens on your own. No matter how hard you try, you don't have the level. That's like a child trying to think like a parent. You're looking through the lenses of a child. You have to look through the lens of a parent. You don't have that capacity as a child to see a parental image of a situation. You don't have it. You can't see it. That's why you have to abandon yourself to the love of the Father and let him transform you. He'll show it to you. Well, I'm a pretty good person. You probably need it more than anybody. Don't ever go there like that with God. Look at this. Darkened lenses of childishness. You can be veiled by the law. You can be veiled by religion, carnality, strife, division, pride, fornication, control, hatred, selfishness, worldliness, jealousy, offensiveness, just to name a few. Well, I don't have any of that. Sure you don't. You just have a soul that's real good at compressing down, hiding all that stuff. You know what I found out? There were things I was just good at hiding, but it was all there. He wants transparency. What he wants to do is remove the veil, remove the lens, cleanse the lens so I can see face to face. There's something blocking me from seeing face to face, and it's a lens of flesh. It's a lens of the old man. It's coverings and self-protection mechanism and running and hiding and clothing myself with this fig leaf and that fig leaf, trying to create this perfect world in here when it's all messed up. I want to bring it in to the Father. Amen. I want Him to cleanse the lens so I can start seeing Him with all the love that He sees me with. And I want to experience and I want to partake it so I can go from glory to glory, so you can go from glory to glory, so most importantly, we can go from being in measure to get into fullness, clothed in the love of the Father, so we can walk up to the needs of humanity. Coach Tien said, such as I have. Such as I have. Isn't that going to be a good day for all of us when you get really in the 38-year problem right in front of it? Such as I have. I got something on me. I've been with the Father. I got something on me that's from another realm. It's not of me, but it's on me. Such as I have. The Holy Ghost takes that off of you and puts it on them, and they get set free right there. Wow. That will preach. That'll build a church. Oh, yeah. Or we can just keep operating in measure. Don't go try to perfect yourself. Just acknowledge the fact that you desperately need His love. Make your journey to the Father. Be the greatest thing you've ever did. He is awesome to be with. Just awesome all the time. He does not withhold Himself. He loves you. You know what He's after? The separation. He wants to remove the separation between you and Him. He does not like it. He wants to be with you, in you. He wants to dwell with you. He does not want separation.